Release 1983, of course, and Every Breath You Take. We've got our special guest, Simon Rouse. Simon, how you doing?
Hello, Johnny. How are you?
Listen, thank you. And they'll know you say that unmistakable voice. I suppose it must be a big advantage when you've got a voice people will recognise as well.
I suppose it is an advantage, kind of, I suppose.
You don't think you've got a distinctive voice? No.
I guess I do. Yeah. But I forget. But then people do say, "Oh yeah, I recognise you from the voice." You know, from the bill. You know.
Yeah.
Yes, that does happen to me, and I've done a few voiceovers as well, so I suppose it must be.
Yeah, it sounds perfect for that, you know. Not that I want to apply for the job as your agent or anything, but you know, I want 10%. You were Jack Meadows in The Bill.
I was, yeah, for 17-18 years, yeah.
Whoa,
it's a long time.
Is that the whole holy grail for most actors, to get a long running TV slot like that, a high profile part?
I think it is. I guess the holy grail would be to be doing something different every few months and being paid loads of money. That's the kind of holy grail.
Yeah. But
I suppose it is one of the few ways you can earn a really good living, by doing a long-running series. Yeah, so you obviously mean, actors do, if you get the opportunity to do one, you do tend to go, okay, I'll
yeah, I'll okay, I mean, everyone has their artistic considerations, but let the bank manager has a different consideration. Let's have regular money coming in.
Exactly, yeah, and I had, I had two kids and a wife and mortgage and all that when I got the job, so it was. It gave us a great lifestyle for 18 years, and I looked after them all, so that was brilliant.
Did you blow it like a footballer in the 70s and you saved nothing?
No, I saved a little bit, I've got enough to keep me in soup, that's what I tell people.
I wanted to play a clip from The Bill, and this was, in primetime TV terms, this is basically the soliloquy from Hamlet. It's a long piece, but we were actually listening to this earlier on with a view to cutting it, and then thought, no, don't cut it. It's a great, it's your character, Meadows. Yeah, so here it is from The Bill.
There's a word that has come up over and over again during this investigation, respect. But it seems to me that somewhere along the line, somebody changed the meaning. You earn respect these days through violence, power, fear, money, and the blade of a knife. How did this happen? Today, one of my officers had a gun pointed at his head by a teenage thug. Tomorrow morning, that officer will be here, 7 a.m. sharp, to start work. Yesterday, Liam Martin died in one of my officer's arms. Today, that officer came in and dedicated himself to getting this result. Respect.
That is stirring stuff. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah, it was. It was. It was. It was very. It was very, very sad that last day, I must say. It was very. I mean, I was kind of. I'd had enough of The Bill, and I was really, when I heard it was finishing. I felt for the people who wanted to stay on. Selfishly, I was really glad it finished. And I was going to be moving on to something else or be out in the marketplace. But it was a very moving day, because it's a very strange thing. You don't realise how conditioned you've become to a particular job or a way of life, And so I kind of... It was a very emotional day, that. And that was a very, very good speech, I thought, too. They ended the whole thing with it being just a kind of another day in the life of that police station. But that was a really good speech, too.
That was great. It was very, very, very serious, very deep, very, very, very emotional, For primetime TV, because a lot of it gets sort of, a lot of it's kind of throwaway,
Yeah. It was quite emotional. It was.
Did you ever, what kind of research did you do? Did you do a De Niro and become a cop for a couple of months? No?
No. You just put a suit on and say you're under arrest. That's it. Yeah. That's all you got to do.
No, you didn't do any of this mad method actor research?
No, you don't have to do any of that, really. No.
Didn't bother with that. No. So then, was it very strange after The Bill, then the next engagement?
It was brilliant. I was prepared to, obviously out in the marketplace again for the first time in 18 years. I was, I expected nothing. And but I got a lovely play. I did When We Are Married as J.B. Priestley Farce, which was with Maureen Lipman and David Horowitz and Sam Kelly. It was a wonderful cast, and I got offered that, and that was 6 months in the West End straight off, that was absolutely brilliant. And it was exactly what I wanted to do. And it was very successful, got great reviews. And so that was a great... And then I went into... I did some more theatre. I worked a lot at the Tricycle Theatre in Kilburn, in London, which is a very, I suppose, very left wing political theatre company. Yeah, run by this wonderful guy called Nicholas Kent, who's now retired or left the Tricycle Theatre. But that was great. That was great stuff, and it was exactly what I needed to be doing after spending so long doing television.
Theatre, your first love, then?
I guess it is. Yes, it's that was how I started, but. You know, I don't. It is great, the theatre, and it's, you know, it's live and it's very exciting and da da and all that, you know. But it can be very exciting doing film or TV, you know.
Yeah. Another big reason for jealousy from loads of people listening. You were in an episode of Doctor Who as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was. Yeah, that was. It was. It's amazing. I still get repeats for that, and I still get people writing to me for autographs, and it was. It was.
Because you know what the Doctor Who fans are like. I mean, real. The word fanatic wasn't invented for nothing, you know.
No. It was.
But you were in. You were in Bread. You did a
with Charles Lawson, Northern Irish lad.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. But you've been in Boone, Robin of Sherwood, Professionals, Casualty, Minder, all kinds of things.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff. You know, a lot of quite posh. You know, kind of. Posh stuff, you know, kind of heavier stuff. Like, you know, I did St. Joan. Well, in the days when they did plays of the month, you know, I did St. Joan and a wonderful play called Sheppy and what else? I kind of, I did a few films, you know, for in the days when they did Play for Todays and stuff like that. I did some great television. But yeah, I'd quite a busy career before The Bill. And the Bill just took over, really. So.
I know, forgive me, but you know the misconception will be, oh, you were nothing until The Bill.
Yeah.
You know, because that's where millions of people then watching you.
I was nothing before The Bill, and I'm nothing now.
So, I mean, again, any time I've seen you, okay, you play this authority figure, and here you are now in the Full Monty in Belfast.
Yeah.
And what part do you play?
I play Gerald, who thinks he's an authority figure, but actually isn't. He's a guy who's a Tory with a small C, a conservative with a small C, aspiring for that nirvana that he thinks exists, like they all do, but actually doesn't, you know. Yeah. And through the course of the play, he joins these guys who he thinks he's probably better than, you know. In fact, he does think he's better than, you know. But during the course of the play, he kind of bonds with them. And I think he realises by the end of the play that the best things in life are free, i.e. friendship and, doing something that is totally your own. And it's something that he's never experienced before.
Because if it's true to the film, these are the kind of ruffians he would never associate with.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. But I think he's really glad that he has done by the end of it. And I think it's a lovely journey that he has, really, because he starts off as being, you know, a bit of a snob, really. Well, a snob, yeah. But by the end of it, he's one of the lads, you know, and which is great, and that's what life's about, isn't it?
How's your dancing?
Dancing is my dancing was I wasn't as quick as the other guys. I'll be honest about this. So they're all a lot younger than me, a lot quicker, you know. But I got there eventually.
Surely that's embedded in your character anyway. You know, the guy's not a natural dancer or exhibitionist.
He's meant to be a really good dancer. Oh, right. Gerald says so. It's just kind of weird, you know, because he's meant to be a really good dancer. But I mean, we got there eventually.
Simon, did you lie on your CV? Have you had, you know, a professional ballroom dancer and all on your CV for decades?
No, wasn't one
of those.
No,
a crash course in dance.
No,
when you got the part.
I did have some ballroom lessons, but actually you don't see really much of me doing the ballroom dancing. You just see a tiny bit, so it wasn't that important, but I did do a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. What actually, well, you know, the sort of the denouement in the film, what happens in the opera house? What happens when the Full Monty actually happens?
Well, that's the great thing about the play. I tell you this, the great thing about the play, a lot of people come along for the party, you know, for seeing the guys get undressed. Lots of women groups come in, you know, to have a laugh and everything. And they get that. That's at the end of the play. It's a lovely, lovely party atmosphere that we eventually get at the end of the evening. But there's a lot of pathos and a lot of very moving kind of moments, and it's very serious about these guys who are out of work and very sad time, and it's very relevant to today as well. But so you, at the end of the evening, it is a very party atmosphere. But they also see a great play, you know, which is very satisfying.
As you said, I mean, I suppose with essentially a comic work. but there are some great deep underlying messages in it about the economy and these guys on the dole and their lives are in tatters and everything else.
Well, yeah, and the guy I played, Gerald, he's been pretending to go to work for 6 months, and that's terribly sad, you know, because he's been frightened of telling his wife that he's out of work because he feels like, you know, his manhood has kind of been taken away from him, you know, and it's very sad. And so there's a lot of that going on. But at the end, it's very joyful because they just get together and do this ridiculous thing and make themselves a few thousand pounds, which is what they all need. But and they do this thing which helps them find themselves a little, you know.
Yeah.
Through doing this silly thing, you know.
So what have the audiences in Belfast been like so far?
Been brilliant. They were brilliant on Monday. And they were very, very good last night. Although, yeah, they were very good last night. Yeah.
Yeah. You were going to tell us something there, no? Although there was one idiot.
Yeah, there was. But I didn't really want to. It was, mostly they were good. But there was one woman who... Oh, I said a woman. It was a woman. Unless it was a man with a very high voice. I don't. But who did kind of start... repeated lines as actors spoke them, which was kind of slightly odd, you know. But
yeah. Oh, well.
She didn't do it as much in the second half. But everyone still had a great time, you know.
Yeah, it sounds terrific. It really does. You're on until Saturday. Is there a matinee?
We've got a matinee tomorrow. Yeah, and a matinee on Saturday. Yeah, at 7:30 each night. And it is a great evening. We've had fantastic reviews, and we get every night people stand up at the end.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Nobody's told them to stand up. You know what I mean? They stand up because they love it.
Brilliant.
And that's been like everywhere we've been. You know. So what can you say?
Well, that's terrific because, I mean, it is a very uplifting piece, you know.
It really is.
As you say, the big climax at the end and, you know, it's been a journey for these guys and it's good news at the end, you know.
Yeah, and it is very funny.
It is.
There's a lot of laughter in it, yeah.
Yeah, and as you say, even when it was written and maybe we thought we'd seen the last of those kind of days, that was set in Sheffield, but this kind of recession thing has really kicked in, so more and more people can associate with the worries that the guys in the cast have.
My goodness, yeah. Yeah, they can, yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of people are, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I don't want to bring us all down.
We should talk politics.
Yeah, Simon, so what's next for you then after this? Do you know from sort of month to month?
Well, I know that this will be going into the West End. I'm not allowed to say when and where, but I'll definitely be doing that. There'll be a little bit of a gap in between. And I'm going to have a holiday in Italy with my wife because we go to Italy every year. We have done for years. We just love going there. We could do walking holidays usually. We just walk across the country, but we'll be going there for a month, and then maybe I'll get a little job to keep me going in between. But if I don't, I won't be worried too much because I'll have this to look forward to in the West End. You know, so I'm in a really, really good position at the moment, and I don't take it for granted for a second. I feel quite blessed at the moment.
Yeah, well, listen, long may it continue. And Simon, thanks a lot for coming in, because I know you're busy, you know. So we do appreciate you coming in today. Thank you.
Thanks for the invite, man.
Cheers,
mate. Thanks.